On June 23rd, David Brooks published an article entitled Bruce Springsteen's Playlist for the Trump Era. In it, Springsteen speaks of 10 songs that he considers important to, in Brooks's words, enrich the moment and maybe give a deeper understanding of what's going on. The first song selected by Springsteen is Strange Fruit, written by my father, Abel Meeropol. Here is what the boss himself has to say. It was written by Abel Meeropol in 1937. So imagine writing Strange Fruit, a song about Southern lynching, and getting a popular singer like Billie Holiday to sing it in 1939. That was a very controversial recording. Her label, Columbia, did not want to release it, and she released it on another label. It's just an epic piece of music that was so far ahead of its time. It still strikes a deep, deep, deep nerve in the conversation of today. It was originally a poem inspired when my father saw a grisly picture of a lynching. Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Pastoral scene of the gallant south, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth. Scent of magnolia sweet and fresh, and the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, for a tree to drop. Here is a strange and bitter crop. Covered by many artists, Strange Fruit was labeled the song of the century by Time magazine in 1999. And that's about right. Back in 1903, in Souls of Black Folk, the great American scholar activist W.E.B. Du Bois identified the color line as the main problem of the 20th century. And what exemplifies the color line more than lynching? No matter how rarely it might occur in any particular town or state, the message was loud and clear to every person of color. Step out of line, you may be next. So why did the boss consider a 1930s anti-lynching song relevant today? By the middle 1960s, the old methods of intimidation didn't work. Lynching had all but disappeared. The murder of Emmett Till in 1956 provoked national outrage in part because such atrocities had become rare. By the 1960s, federal authorities prosecuted people who murdered blacks. The acquittal of murderers by state juries was no longer sufficient protection. Segregation and denial of the right to vote were outlawed by court orders and the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Acts of 1964 and 65. Enter what the writer Michelle Alexander has dubbed the new Jim Crow. Instead of laws keeping blacks down, we have mass incarceration of alleged black criminals. Instead of lynching by mobs, we have lynching by police. The point remains the same. If a person of color steps out of line, he or she just might get killed. Police officers who murder people of color could win acquittal with five magic words. I feared for my life. Mr. Diallo's cell phone was a sufficient excuse for police to discharge their weapons 41 times. Acquittals of killer cops or failure to indict sent the same message that the failure to prosecute lynchers did. Old-fashioned lynchings, though still horrific, became very rare by the 1950s. We have to make mass incarceration and police lynchings equally unacceptable today. And police lynchings will only cease when the very culture of policing changes. The blue wall of silence must come down. Juries must start convicting police of murder. Maybe then, Strange Fruit can be sung and listened to as a relic of a barbaric past, rather than a reminder of how dangerous it still is to be black in America.